gets anything she wants off that dollar menu. Yeah, you know the venue. Shh, let me continue. There ain't no need that you got, girl, that I won't attend to. Extra napkins got you. Extra ketchup got you. Couple rolled of extra ice. I thought I said I got you. The mother girls got away, but baby, not you. Need some extra cash? Go ask my mom to spot you.
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Layman. We have a beautiful round table in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris Layman, Toria Williams, and Merc 80. And tonight's topic really isn't a topic. We're going to do a little bit of listener feedback. Over the 3 years we've been podcasting, or almost 3 years we've been podcasting, we've received a lot of messages and voicemails and comments on the iTunes page. And we've read all of it. We do want you guys to know that we've read all of it, but we've never done a feedback show. So today we're going to do a feedback show. And what prompted it was a really awesome comment that we received on our Facebook page from a brother named Bertram, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, Bertram Ash, I believe his name is. And he wrote a really lengthy, wonderful review of our site and our podcast and how much he has been supporting us from the very beginning. But he had to respond to the Dating While Smart article and the podcast. And we believe he was kind of siding with Yohanse, a point Yohanse made. He says, the key moment for me came relatively late in the podcast when a particularly incisive brother, about 32 minutes in, pretty much exploded many of the common uncritical assumptions about why there are no good black men out there. I don't know his name, but here's what he said. I've known a great many black men, including myself. No jail record, no kids, none of that stuff. These dudes that I know, including me, can't get a date or get looked at funny when we treat a woman with respect. And then the girls that I know have said that I was too nice. I'm watching them and they're still not married. They're still constantly going through issues trying to find somebody. Here's the issue as I see it. Well-meaning sisters often say things like, all black men are in jail. And this is the brother Bertram talking now. On drugs, gay, or dating white women. None are left for me. And that's simply not true. There are plenty of good brothers out there that sisters don't want. Either these brothers fall outside of a conventional sense of what handsome is, or they're lacking in some aspect of personal style, or most insidious of all, they can be handsome and have style, but somehow are perceived to be, as the brother said above, too nice. And so that sinks him. I truly feel that too many unmarried black women are assessing the problem by looking out, but not enough are acknowledging that part of the problem might be helped by looking within. And before Toria puts it all on immaturity, please stop. Of course, that's a factor. But can we really say that all or even a majority of unmarried black women in their 30s or older aren't still carrying baggage that tells them what an appropriate acting black man is like? And that a brother who is too nice, who somehow lacks an appropriately masculine edge, is not a viable possibility as a life partner? Sure, some women figure out their priorities, but many, many don't. Putting it on a lack of maturity is a factor, but surely it's deeper than that, isn't it? So what of it, Casey? Can we go there? You've done Dating While Smart. Can you drop Dating While Nice on the Black Is Family and see what emerges? Keep up the good work. Thank you, Mr. Ash. So, I don't know. I felt like that podcast, we definitely sided on the brother who he would be referencing here.
I do, too.
I'm confused. I need to go back and re-listen and to what happens at the 32nd minute in the podcast. But really, is this a major issue? Because we have two nice guys sitting here at the table. My husband, Christopher, and Merc. Is the nice guys finish last?
A lot of times it does. And I think...
Well, you married, so you won. So
I deny for myself.
Win.
I think it's a perception of being a nice guy and what that entails.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if the, a lot of people are labeled nice when they're not as, you know, a go-getter, per se. If you don't have... If you your personality is, you're nice to the point where you're a pushover, then yes, I can see that being unattractive because women don't like... Women don't like men who they can basically tell exactly what to do all the time, whenever. They like a man who would stand up to them. Other than that, I mean, it seems like women like bad guys. The whole women like bad boys and, you know, ooh, he got tats.
He got scars. I feel like that's a phase. I feel like women go through that as a phase, but we grow out of it. I'd like to believe that to be the case.
I would have to agree. I like nice guys as well, but I think, like you said, Chris, it's how you define nice. I think sometimes if you're carrying that I'm the nice guy, you kind of have this tendency, or what I've seen are of nice guys, they withdraw because it's this automatic assumption like, I'm too nice. So they withdraw. You know, there has to be some type of aggressiveness. And I think it goes both ways, because I would like to think that maybe, you know, because I'm in my 30s, it's not because I have all these issues within, but I've sometimes wondered like, okay, maybe I am too nice in the sense of I'm not the aggressive chick. You know what I mean? There are girls that you can sit at a table and you're out and one will say, oh, he's cute. Hey, how you doing? You know, and I would have been thinking the same exact thing, but because she spoke on it, she got his attention. So I don't know if that's nice or if you put yourself out there. You know, if you're nice and you're putting yourself out there and you're being overlooked, then that's something I would want to examine. But I think sometimes we're mistaken nice with timid. You know, we've all hit bad people. We've all could say someone has taken us for granted, but it's confidence too, you know, and I'm not saying that nice men aren't confident, but it's something about the brother that steps up and says hello. And I can refer to someone I was going out with very, very, very briefly. And he said to me, you know, a lot of women say I'm detached because I can deal with you or I can't, kind of a thing. And that was just like, kind of like, so then... It was almost like a sense of defeat already.
Right.
And he's nice, so I'm sure he could probably take it as, I'm nice, so I'm not meeting these women. But when you present yourself or you're carrying this, I'm nice, they don't want me, they're not going to say anything. Or you don't have that oomph to, and I'm not talking swag. Oomph is not to be mistaken with swag or great personality. But just a little bit of oomph to put yourself out there. Because I've been on that receiving end as well, out with girls and the woman at the table that says, hey, you know, gets the attention. You almost have to, as my mother's neighbor told me, be aggressive.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, be aggressive.
Yeah. I was just having a conversation with Mr. Moody, with the Mr. Moody's Neighborhood podcast out of Atlanta. And what we were talking about was the fact that there was a young woman who came to his gym and all the guys, she was there on a 2-week pass. So everybody knew she was new. And all the guys are kind of standing around ogling her, but they don't want to say anything, but they're talking about what they would do if they could talk to her. And he was like, why don't you just go say hi? And so he's the mayor of the gym. That's what he calls himself because he's in there all the time. And he said he went up to her, introduced himself, like welcomed her to the gym. And he said on his way out, she came by and like dropped off her number. And he was like, I would totally take that, except I'm very married, but thank you very much. And he said the guys afterwards like, man, how'd you get her number? He's like, I said hi to her. Something that y'all should have been doing, standing around, you know, looking at her, but not talking. And I do think that timid situation is a problem. I think a lot of men sometimes, not a lot, some men underestimate their value. They look at some women and think, oh, I would never be able to pull her. She wouldn't be interested. And they don't try to talk to a woman. And there's sometimes I don't like to ever think anybody can overshoot. I'm an honest believer that you could pretty much have anybody you want. It just depends on how you swing it. But I think a lot of times men will see a woman and they'll think she's just in a different league than them and they won't try. And it's like, it's the trying part of it that's attractive.
Yeah.
You know?
And you can't wear that label. Like, if you announce publicly, I'm too nice, that's why I don't have anyone. There's a sense of, like, defeat right there that's not attractive. It's straight up unattractive.
Right.
You know, like if I'm sitting at the table with guys, I'm like, I don't have anybody because I'm too nice of a girl. I'm just too nice. It's like, hell no. Even if I thought that, you know, you have, it's how you present yourself.
Yes.
It's how you got to carry some kind of confidence about you. And sometimes you've internalized that because you've heard from one or two people, you're too nice. So you believe it. So when you present yourself, you're like, I'm too nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how sometimes the loudest person in the room gets all the attention. I mean, not to say that person ends up with those people, but there has to be something about you that doesn't already speak defeat when you're in the presence of a woman.
Agreed.
Of the opposite sex.
Just period.
And I think we are capable of looking within. I would never say it's all black men. I certainly don't believe all black men are in jail or on drugs or tatted and everything. I know it's just, I don't believe that. You know what I mean? I can't define what the issue is for all black women in their 30s and why we are single. A lot of it does have to do with something we've gone through. But that's the same case, Mr. Ash, for the men too. You know, like, yeah. I think we can all say, okay, I got caught up in this, I got caught up in this, I got caught up in that. But I don't think that's the end all be all answer. I really think it's the confidence. I know, like, after I work out, the adrenaline's going and I'm like, boom. And I'm like, hi, hey. And I'm like snapping, you know, and I'm like, whoa, look at all this attention. It's the energy that you put out. I really believe that's the energy that you put out is the energy
you attract back.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a mood and you're feeling like, damn, I'm not meeting anybody, I'm too nice, then that's not the time for you to be looking, because guess what? You're thinking it and you're putting it out there in the universe.
Yeah.
And so women can smell that. Men can smell that as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stinks like fish grease. Like
what you thinking, Mark, over there?
No, I'm listening to all of it. There's definitely, I have to agree in a large sense that, first off, to address, what's his name again? Mr. Ash. There's a post that I read that made me somewhat uncomfortable, but I had to identify with that. In being a nice person doesn't necessarily mean that you're entitled to everything off the bat. So I don't want to get it confused to say that because I am X, Y, and Z, that automatically means I deserve X, Y, and Z in return just because I'm me. That's actually being more arrogant and self-centered than anything. The thing about it is that I've seen is, across the people, many different people that I've had these discussions with, including lesbian women, that there's this, I think a lot of women need to understand that some of the things that they're asking for can be acted. You know, I can pretend to be confident. I can pretend to be a certain kind of person. And so when I sell myself a certain way, you can end up falling into not paying attention to the fact that I may have a jail record or that I have kids or that I have X, Y, and Z, which doesn't take anything away from anybody else, because that doesn't mean that you can't still be a good person and a good mate for someone regardless of those things.
Right.
But if you might find that you kind of seem to fall into a pattern of certain people, and then somebody completely different comes along that is probably a good option, then the question becomes, is it the salesmanship of the other person that's more attractive? And there is an attractiveness level of the presentation, but then there's also a question of what is it that you're buying into? You know what I'm saying? So the question for me isn't so much, well, why not me? It's why would you still continue the same pattern of something that seems to not be working for you? You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because I approached you and because I have a master's degree and I'm X, Y, and Z that you have to allow me to take you out on a date. But then the question becomes, if every other person you've dated was a no shit type dude, then if a person may have those things in which you probably have been asking for, then why would you say no? Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a good question.
So the nice guy thing isn't even something that I necessarily always subscribe to, because trust me, I can definitely be asshole-ish. and there's a point at which I also feel like if you feel like you can take advantage of me, then that's a problem of you. So if I get the sense that you feel that I'm like that, then that great. Then that means that we can just cut this off right here.
Right.
You know, I unconditional love and generosity is something that I've been taught. So of course you have to have a limit of all that. But if you feel like that's a way that you can get over on me, then soon as I see it, we can just be done. You know what I'm saying? That's fine by me.
Because that speaks to that person's personality.
But I can't, there's another thing that I want to say actually in responding to Mr. Ash is also that we can't front like there aren't a lot of guys out there that even in their confident salesmanship, there's a lot of guys that will present themselves as being very nice only to pull the wool over somebody and become very abusive, verbally abusive, very, you know, oh, well, you know, you should do this for me because I'm me type dudes. Like, there's a lot of dudes that have messed it up for guys who are genuine. Right. So yeah.
People showing up with their rep.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I can only imagine something that I've really thought about recently is that maybe there's been a lot of girls who've been afraid, like, oh, you're telling me you have this and you're this nice. Nah, there must be a catch. Like, you
they don't
must
trust nice.
Right. You right. must be about something else.
Yeah. So, and that's also too because nice doesn't make a person perfect either. Right. If we're talking about men, a nice man is susceptible to the same sort of temptations that a doggish man is susceptible to. It's just a matter of how they respond to it. And just because he's nice doesn't mean he's going to always make the best choice or the mm-hmm. choice that favors you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just being willing to put yourself out there to trust that he's nice enough not to be hurting you
yeah.
purposefully.
And nice isn't always enough because I know nice people that I have no connection to.
Right.
So, you know, there has to be a connection, as I know really nice guys that there's no natural connection. And that's important too. You know,
yeah.
I think we all know people that are nice. And at the end, if it was just solely based on nice, baby girl would have been married a couple of times. You know? It's not all about nice. You know, I wish all it took was nice. But I want to go back to what you said, Mark, earlier about the question of why do you keep or why do women keep basically being the repeated offender is what I call it. And I was the repeated offender syndrome also. And I fell into that category because I was always looking at the other person and the type of women they dated, right? Like, why would you date a woman that's got all these issues and all these baby daddies and she's not in school? And so automatically I'm giving myself this false sense of entitlement and this false sense of better. So while I'm looking at them and their bad mistakes and their choices or what I'm deeming bad mistakes, I'm not necessarily focusing on Toria. I wasn't ever selling Toria. I was just letting him know that his choices over there were bad. Well, that's not enough. You know right. what I'm saying? If I'm advertising everything on that menu sucks, but I'm not saying what's on this menu, then guess what? You know, so it took some time for me to be like, I've been in the game for a long time and I'm trying to convince him what he shouldn't be with while I can't even say or speak to who I am. So I think, and Mr. Ash is not going to like this word about maturity, but I didn't get to this point until I matured as a woman. You know what I mean? We don't all get it at 21 or all at 25 or all at 40.
Right.
It definitely means you got to meet the person at the right time who's gone through that stage where they can appreciate, you know, the nice man that they are connected to. And the connections might not be instant. You know what I mean? Nice mm-hmm. might get you in the door. He's nice. And there might not be a connection. And you got to keep going and keep going and keep going. But I don't think it's fair to yourself for us to even question, like, why are you being the repeated offender? Because I was the repeated offender. You know what I mean? Going for the guy that I was looking at him, the same type of guy, and I'm basing it all off of, you know, I know he should pick me for number one because look at your choices previously. Look at the type of woman you were with.
So I'm a bit confused. You're saying that the choices of the men that you were making were based upon the choices of the women that they were getting.
I didn't choose them that way, but I always focused on them. I asked the same question you were asking, like, why do you keep getting with the guy that treats you like shit kind of a thing? And then somebody different comes along, then they should be able to recognize and appreciate what's different. I had that same attitude, like, well, you keep dating all these girls that have all these baby daddies, and you're dating girls who aren't trying to pursue anything career-wise. All these false hopes, not even false hopes. I don't know the exact word for that. Mm. But I had those same questions for them, thinking that that would make them recognize me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, when I wasn't even recognizing myself in the picture, the only thing I focused on was what I knew I was different, but I didn't know, I wasn't speaking to what was different, you know, so it created some vanity too in that and some conceit, because who am I to say that I'm better than the next chick just because she had two or three baby daddies? But that was my focus. Like, how can you not recognize something different? You know, you being with these bum broads all the time. That's not it's selfish, but that ain't my damn business. You know what I'm saying? You with bum broads next. You know what I mean? I don't care who you humping. You know, if you humping on Bozo, cool. But let me tell you about Toria.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's the approach we have to take in dating too, because it's so easy to get sidetracked and look at what they've got going or what they're used to. Bump them. You know what I mean? If that's what they're used to, guess what? There's nothing you could ever say to get them on the right track to recognize a good man. They got to get them lenses themselves.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I wanted to interject real quick, you know, that you were saying earlier that when girls like the bad boy type, honestly, a lot of the advice that I've gotten for a while, and I may experiment with it just to see what happens, but a lot of it usually centers around acting like a jerk. It'd be like, well, what you need to do is just, you know what I'm saying, what you do, you might buy her a drink, but then just talk to her friends and flirt with them and then be like, all right, so let me get your number. It's, you know, I'm not gonna drop all the game, of course, because there's probably some people whose livelihoods depend on that. But, you know, it is largely it becomes a very psychological thing. And so I say all that to say, really, as a word of advice, I think to men and women, but women especially, like, you need to understand that there's a large level of psychological game being run very often. You know what I'm saying? So there's a point at which you want to recognize the difference between, yeah, I guess the nice guy when it's a front, and the person who's actually being themselves, at least. But there's probably some books I can recommend on all that. But, you know, the funny thing about it is that with a lot of people who give me that advice, none of them are in happy relationships either.
Right.
So it becomes a thing of, you can get what you want, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to keep it. Right. So that's just my spiel for now.
Well, I just find this interesting because I guess there is some questions that I would want to ask all people who are currently dating, because you talking about the kind of men that are in it to run game. Like, how can you tell when you're dealing with somebody who's being honest and when you're dealing with somebody who's not being honest? Or are you just constantly having to take that chance? And I mean, I would put that same question out there to the men, because there are slick women too. You know, there are women who are trying to get needs met and they got their own game, you know. So how do you know when you're dealing with honest people?
You truly have to take a risk. You have to take a risk, and it's hard. It's like a friend told me, he's like, you're never gonna date and you're never gonna get to your mate if you're not willing to gamble, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was the book reader, you know, Steve Harvey's first book. I ran out and got it, not trying to give him pubs for it, but I ran out and got it and read anything, any article in Cosmo and anything in Vogue and anything in Bazaar, the next 10 tricks, how to tell if he likes you, how to know if you're right. When I approached it in a natural way,
because
that's what it is. We're talking about finding someone that you will build a friendship with. When I think about my female friends, I always have to go and look at my female friends. My female friendships were not based on what the book said, was not based on the fact that they were like, you know, some girls are still your man. I never walked into a relationship or meeting my female friends like, she could possibly steal my man. I walked into the environment with a natural human spirit. And when you walk into that, I think you're more likely to attract. That's damn hard, especially if you've been out in the game and you've gotten ran over and you've dealt with the BS. It's really hard. So you go in automatically with your guards up like, yo, what's up? Tell me right now, lay it all out on the table, you know. But I think that approach, because I have the books too, and I'm like, well, in the book it said, and did you read this? And did you read that? Like, I think we have to take a natural approach and just kind of put it out there. Like, you know, you get back what you put out in the universe. And that is very hard to do, you know, because you can be dating someone, and I'm saying this right now, and then, you know, turn out to be a jerk, and I'm like, fuck, what's in the universe? You know what
I'm saying? Right, because good people get their feelings hurt all the time.
Absolutely.
And so you just have to take that chance.
I say a lot of it is confidence and part of it, and then paying attention to that person.
We're taught that if you're not confident, then you can't pull a chick, or the chick is not going to be interested in you. That's like the number one thing where you're like, how do I get a woman to respond, is confidence. And it works both ways. I mean, because there could be women who will see a guy who's not confident, and then they'll, that feeling of wanting to change a guy, like, oh, I can mold him however I want because he'll let me, because he doesn't have the confidence in him. And if with men, if a woman's not confident, you'll have guys who'll see it as unattractive, because it is unattractive to me. Like, you, I don't want to have to keep carrying you and bigging you up all the time. That gets old and tired after a while. Like, I'm being your crutch.
But then you got captains.
And then you got some who will realize, right. this girl is not confident in herself. You know, I can run game on this chick and do what I want. And she won't say anything. Yeah. And guys will prey on that.
Yeah.
So it works both ways, but you just have to be aware. Once you get to know the person, that's why you get out and date, ask the right questions that'll, you know, bring up more questions to get to know the person,
right.
See what they say on some things.
Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many times where I know I'm a very verbally communicative type person. Like, and I guess that's somewhat abnormal for some dudes, but I'm the type of person where I love conversation. And so if I notice that I'm asking all the questions and you haven't asked me anything, then that kind of usually tells me that this probably isn't going to go anywhere, at least for me. I've the usual dating game is with dudes, you know, just keep her talking. And I know that, and so my thing is, I'm going to keep you talking to see if you ever ask me anything, if we're actually having a conversation, or if I'm just, you know,
listening.
Yeah, just listening. And the thing is that a lot of people tell a lot about themselves by the questions you ask and how long you keep them talking. So if you seem to be talking most of the time and I notice that you haven't asked anything about me, then I can bet that you're going to probably assume what kind of person I am by the conversation or so-called conversation that we just had.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, and I mean, maybe this might be different for you, but, you know, do you already have kind of like a set list of conversational questions for dudes?
I don't. And kind of like you said, I'm a communicator, right? I'm the one that can talk. So for me personally, I've been like, you know what? Sit back. So I might be sitting at the table listening, genuinely listening. And it doesn't mean, because I'm assuming, like, I'm genuinely listening. And I may hit you with something you said 10 minutes earlier, 30 minutes down the line. So I don't think you want to totally erase the woman who's not keeping up with the conversation, you know, because maybe she's just getting to know you. Because for me, sometimes I know I have to close my mouth because I can go on and on and on and on. And it's not because I think I'm more important than you. It's I'm a talker. I love to conversate. I can talk to almost damn anybody. You know what I mean? So I've learned, sit back and listen, you know. And sometimes I'm listening to see, you know, where's his brother coming from? Or you might just be saying something that's like, wow, you know, I might be thinking about it and then go back and forth. I don't think, but I certainly don't have a list of questions, you know, other than, you know, your ass married. But that's before we even get to.
No, I mean it like just straight conversational questions, like, you know, even sometimes just basic fun questions like, what's your favorite food?
That might make it a little pretentious. And this just came up with someone that I've recently went out with. He's like, we're not going to call this a date because I don't want it to seem too pretentious. And it took all the pressure down to have any of these questions and the conversation.
You know,
just
I've been
flowed.
Told the exact opposite, to do the exact opposite of that. I've always
be
been told.
Pretentious?
No, well, yes. Make everything like I'm the type of person where I'm kind of like, yo, I don't look at dating as a casual thing. I don't look at going out on a date
like
as just whatever. Like, either we're getting to know each other or I like you and we're going somewhere with this, like the whole dating process. So
that feels like so much pressure for everybody.
Yeah, no. The first time around, I'm saying, like, initially, like, somebody else told me, they were like, don't call it a date. That's putting too much pressure on everything.
Yeah.
You guys are mutually interested in something. You are going to go there and have fun. So I'm like, cool. So that's usually the way that I've approached it. Whereas other people are like, no, you need to make it very clear. Yo, you going out on a date, you going to pay, and she going to either be interested in you and tell you yes or no, or give up
that ass,
or something.
That is so scary. That's so scary. I'm scared.
I'm serious.
I'm scared.
Yeah, this is John Wood crashing the party spontaneously here. You know, I don't think that there's necessarily a set proportion, an absolute rule in terms of in terms of the ratio between how much one party talks and the other party listens, as would determine in an absolute way whether or not two people are compatible. I think that what you need to look for is the type of conversation that flows organically from mutual interest, mutual interest in mutual subjects, or just mutual interest in one another. Some people are just more conversational than others, and I've seen successful relationships, successful marriages, where one party is very talkative and social, and the other person just doesn't really talk at all. But they communicate. They know what each other are saying and where the other person is coming from. So, you know, when you're going on a date, is it better to make it official that that's what it is, or is it better to sort of pretend that's not what it is and let it become that if that's what it becomes? It really depends on the person. It really depends on the individual. You may be the type of woman or the type of man who likes the explicitly romantic sort of meetup where it's like, okay, the point of tonight is for us to wine and dine, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, oh well. Some people like it like that. You know, because there's a certain challenge and excitement that goes into that kind of date. Or, you know, some people just like the more casual, laid back. Hey, let's meet up. Let's see if we, can develop a friendship relationship. And if something more comes from it, hey, all the better. So really no judgment from me on what it is you prefer. But it's chemistry that's important. Mm-hmm. That can come in any form. Right.
Let me also just clarify that I can't necessarily blame the other person if they don't ask me a question in a conversation. I just know, like, okay, this might not work because, you know, like if I notice that we're on the phone for about 45 minutes and 30 of that 45 minutes was just off of me just asking you two questions and you haven't asked me, then I know that, like you said, organic conversation or interaction, that's just, you know, sometimes preference. But oh man, there was something else I was just about to say. Oh, here it is. When you say the pressure of the situation, the pressure of that situation, and I think that there's also a when you talk about men and confidence, that's a very tricky ground. That the reason why there's that pressure on that that interaction is because the men don't want to be in that dreaded friend zone.
And so see, it's that's like what
either
I'm thinking.
Either you're gonna be my girl, or you're going to be a booty call, or I'm not talking to you anymore.
And see, I feel so young in this conversation because of how early it is Chris and I hooked up. I didn't have a long time period of dating. And the thing that would make me nervous about those situations where it was very clear, we're not friends necessarily yet, but this is an actual romantic date, was that pressure of, is this gonna have to end in sex tonight, even if I don't like him? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like every person you're not automatically attracted to. Some people grow on you.
I don't think that's okay.
Okay.
I don't think that that's okay to put a woman in a position to say, yo, you better give me something in return of this interaction. And that's why I never felt okay.
This is where this is going.
But there's no, like, one formula. And I maybe... You ordered an extra shot. You're giving it up.
Right. Now I've forced you into liking me. Now I've forced you into something that isn't a genuine relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think it's hard. You're just taking a gamble. I could say, you know, and I may be telling on myself.
No judgment. No judgment.
Not at all.
And, you know, hopefully no one listens. This is Kim speaking now.
Everybody listens.
No one's listening. No, but I went out in one weekend on two dates. Went out Friday night, and I was like, this was a good date. I enjoyed myself. It was great. Saturday went out with the next guy. And
that's smart. That's smart, baby.
It is.
That's time management.
Why is she doing the Birdman hand rub, though?
Now, what Friday, and you know why it is great? Because Friday I walked away like, this was good, you know, excited. Saturday I went out, the date was better. And I could attribute it to it being more organic. As John said, it was natural, it was organic. And it made me look back like, well, what was so great about last night's date? You know, was I more excited that I went out with someone who was nice and a gentleman? So it was like, this was a great date. Or was it like, okay, I haven't been out on a date like this, you know, in so long. And now I'm out on a nice day where there's no tension. And it's, but what was it? You know, and I think it is, you never can tell. Because they both were good dates. You never know. There's no formula.
I think what we're taught to do, women specifically, is that when you do find somebody who you have a genuine good connection with, we cut everybody else off and then just make ourselves only available for that person, right. Which is what I think we shouldn't do, because right. Men don't do that.
Right.
Until a man has actually announced to you and other people that he's cutting everybody off just for you, he's usually dating a few people.
Right.
And women tend to not do that, and then we get our feelings hurt quicker when you find out he wasn't spending time with you because he was on a date with her, when we should be doing the same thing right. and not caring what he's doing when he's not with us. I think that might be something, though, that you learn as you mature. Sure.
Right.
Exactly. I definitely didn't date like that as a young woman.
And, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. I'm not trying to put it out there like every week and I just got
No. You know? But I think that's smart.
I was smart.
You're not trying to put that out
there. No. But you know, pop my collar. I don't even have on a collar. That just happened by default. I didn't plan it. I just, it happened in the universe. I think God was trying to tell me something.
Right.
Like, you know. Yeah.
It's a good season for Toria. That's what's up.
But do not wipe me out for game yet. That was many, many years ago.
Oh, anybody else have anything to say? Go ahead, honey.
What was his actual question, though? Was there a specific question that he was definitively basically asking, why is it that
nice guys don't finish first?
Right. What is the issue that Black women have with nice Black men?
All right, look.
That's what I got.
All right, look. I'll just say this very quickly. I do think that in a lot of Black culture, Black popular culture, there are a lot of things that we're focused on that may not be the healthiest things, mm-hmm. men included.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I like big booties like the next guy, but that a big booty is not going to necessarily save a marriage. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, seeing all the, you know, music videos, rap videos, all this other things. There are a lot of things that are being kind of taught and kind of filtered into people's minds subconsciously that people are trying to, you know, get the next Bentley when you don't probably need a Bentley. You probably need a Volvo. Like,
right.
You just like, why are you trying to go after this idea? And so there are a lot of ideas of the, you know, extra, you know, tatted up, or, you know, I'm balling, I'm this, I'm that. And that's fine. Everybody, you know, get what you want. But there's also, you got to understand that there's a lot of things that I think we've entertained ourselves with and not look back at real life. And there are certain things that, you know, there are dudes out there that are confident in some areas and not confident in others. And there are women out there that are confident in certain areas and not confident in others. Like, we seem to, that's a whole other podcast and a whole other thing that I'm going to write about in terms of our perception of reality.
Yeah.
But I definitely do think that there is I found it very interesting that there are a lot of guys in jail or fresh out of jail that have gotten dates quicker than guys I know that have college degrees.
But I also think it's how you define nice. And I know I was just talking about these books and things, but there's this book out that talks about your love language, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the five love languages. One is like touch. Mm-hmm. One is the gift of service. One is gifts. One is quality time. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing one more.
Kind words or...
Oh, yeah, affirmations, right?
Words. Yes. About
okay, exactly.
Stuff.
Right? So exactly, right? So one guy might be coming up to me like, Tori, you're so beautiful. You're so smart. And I might be like, he is so nice. And Kim might be like, he, you know, he's doing all that kind stuff. You know what I mean? So I think it really, too, depends on how you define nice,
right?
You know,
that's true. What it looks like.
What does nice look like to you, and what kind of nice are you mm-hmm. attracted to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I heard like quality time, right? Some people might be like, "Ooh, I don't need you up under me like this." And some girl might be looking like, "Your boyfriend's so nice; he wants to spend all this time with you."
Exactly.
You know, or it's like he's so sweet. Every time he sees her, he's like, "You look beautiful today." You know, and you're like, "Boy, shut up," you know. So I think too, it depends on how you define nice. Like some women think it's nice, he's always buying gifts. And I think too, that's why we sell ourselves so much. Like, I bought you this, I bought you that, I bought you that. And you may be with someone who doesn't think it's a nice gesture, but may not be able to appreciate it. And they're like, well, I'd rather you spend time with me.
Right.
You know?
I'd be looking at somebody funny, like, why are you buying me so much stuff?
Right, exactly.
Like, start thinking like Tony Soprano, like, what are you up to?
Exactly. And like, what are you trying to?
What is going on?
Are you trying to cover up? You know. So I think too, when we define nice, I mean, or when we throw the nice guy out there that black women can't appreciate nice guys. I think we have to define nice. And then I think, you know, there are, it is hard for us to see sometimes what a good black man looks like. And that kind of goes back to the conversations we've had before about if we didn't have those black male role models in our lives, we don't necessarily know what it looks like, especially if we've been raised by a single, strong, independent woman who's put you in the position that you don't need nobody. You go to school, get your job, and do this. Mm-hmm. You know, many of us have heard that. And so it's kind of hard for us to, you know, turn and look and notice that you're being nice when you say, let me hold the door, let me carry your groceries.
Yeah.
You know, I had to consciously teach myself that. I was, remember, at a family picnic, and I'm walking with two big bags of charcoal, and this guy's like, you want me to do it? I was like, I got it. Because it's just my natural instinct, like, I got it. You know, my cousin, he starts laughing. He's like, damn, you know, the bags are bigger than you, and the brother just asked you to carry the bags, and you're like, I got it. You know? I was like, yeah, you know? And I thought back to how many times it just falls off my tongue. You know, if I'm in the parking lot, the brother's like, you need help with that? I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Without even thinking, you know what I mean? And looking back, like, oh, I probably did shoot down, you know, somebody. And it wasn't because he was too nice. But when I look at it from his perspective, it could be a brother getting a car like, and I never win. Now, if that dude was out of jail, she would have let him holler. She would have let him carry them groceries.
I wanted to make one more point that Yohanse mentioned in terms of what pop culture continues to feed us about what relationships are supposed to look like, because it definitely doesn't feed us that. I think it feeds us what we believe we're supposed to be seeking in relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think if everybody acknowledges that they are flawed, like, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'm looking for a 10. I need a 10. I'm like, you are not a 10. Because nobody is a 10. Everybody is flawed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so stop acting like what you see in the videos is actually what your life can look like. Those people are paid to be there.
Right.
And so unless you got money like that, and just every time somebody comes in your presence, you kicking them down with a check for company. You know what I'm saying? I need to be signed up on that service if it's like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just be realistic and honest. Recognize we're all flawed. And for me, at least, it's really about finding somebody who can love you with your flaws, you know, and not try to figure out how they need to fix you or change you or abuse you because of that. You know?
And I think, too, like how you said, like having a realistic idea of what relationships are, you know, because when we think about dating, dating to me is like wining and dining, get all dressed up, go to a nice restaurant, flowers maybe, or do you have flowers? Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, you know, dating could be like, you know, I'm going to come through and kick back and watch a movie because I didn't get paid this week.
Right.
You know, and that's just as enjoyable. So I think we do have to have a real expectation of what it is.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I was thinking about what one brother said to me, and I thought about this because since there does seem to be a disparity between the amount of money men are making nowadays, black men specifically, in comparison to black women, even though I know there are some financially successful brothers out there, it seems more than not now I'm beginning to see the sisters are just able to make more money right now. It's just how it's cut out. He said, he was talking about a date, and there was one part of the date where he was going to cut corners. Like, I think they was going to an amusement park, and instead of parking on the amusement park lot, he was going to park at a different lot and take a tram up. And I was like, okay. When he first said it, I was kind of like, okay. But he was like, man, in this economy, if a woman can't understand I'm trying to save money, like, that's problematic for me. And I was like, that's interesting. So I'm going to send that out there to all my single sisters looking. Brothers is going through it right now.
They are.
Yeah, if you want to have the back of a black man and he's cutting a few corners, and I mean, he's not a cheapskate, but he's doing what he needs to do so he can take you out on a nice date, make that rent, make that car note, cut him some slack, please. Just throwing that out
there. And I concur.
Yeah, like maybe he's just saving that parking money to spend it on you inside the amusement park.
Now you can get relish on your hot dog.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was going to say, with you, Kim, the whole wanting a 10, I'm tired of hearing this that all black men ain't nothing or all there are no good guys. Because it sounds like basically you're saying he's not a 10 in everything, then he's not good.
Right.
You know, if a guy's not attractive to you, that doesn't make him not a good man. That just means he's just not attractive to you.
Right.
You know, or like, oh, well, he's attractive. He has this. Oh, but you know what? You know, we don't vibe like that. I like him. He's cool. But, you know, I'm just not feeling that connection. And now that gets lumped into, oh, you know, I can't find any good man. I was like, well, you was just out with one. He just didn't fit all the things that you might have wanted, or maybe you just, you know, it didn't go there, but that doesn't mean he's not good.
Right.
Right. You know,
it's either say, you know, I haven't found the right, saying I haven't found the right person is a lot easier to swallow. Like, okay, I can understand that. But just saying, I ain't no good man out here. I'm like, and what's wrong with that. You then?
Right. Clean your blinds. Clean your blinds.
Yeah, I agree with everything Cam and Chris have just said, but I might offer a little bit of a contrarian point of view with respect to nice guys not being able to find women. You know, I say this having at one time been that quintessential nice guy who couldn't get a break, but really, you know, it's good to be nice, and it's vital to be nice in terms of being a good man and attractive man for a long-term relationship and all that. But a lot of times I hear nice guys complaining about how, you know, women just won't give them a chance and whatnot. But it's not that they're nice that's the problem. A lot of nice guys do just fine. Most nice guys do just fine. It's that they're nice, but they're not confident. And frankly, confidence has everything to do with attractiveness. And really, it's whether you're nice or not, confidence is attractive. Now, if you're not a nice guy, you'll be attractive short term, and then a woman will realize that you're really not worth the time, and eventually you'll be left lonely. But if you are a nice guy, but you're confident in yourself, and you feel that you have something to offer, you feel that you're the type of man who can comfort a woman, who can provide support, guidance, leadership, or, you know, whether you're in the foreground or the background, whether you got a lot of money or not, women respond to that. But if you're one of those guys who just thinks, oh, I'm so nice, I open the door for her, I always want to carry her stuff, I always want to buy her things, but you're leeching off of her confidence, then, you know, really, I kind of understand why your homegirl doesn't want to be with you, you know? And so I don't say this to be mean, but a lot of times there's sort of a certain conceit that comes along with some guys talking about how nice they are, you know, because, you know, you still have an obligation to come correct beyond just opening doors and so forth. You know, you have to feel some value in yourself to where really it shouldn't bother you if that woman doesn't want you, because you are confident in yourself. You know that you're valuable enough to where when the white woman comes along, she's going to recognize you for what you are. So half the time when I hear that complaint, I don't take it very seriously. Nothing particular to the brother who wrote the comment, but as a general statement, that's my rule.
Amen. There we go.
Anybody else have anything to say in summation?
Thank you, Mr. Ash.
Nope. Yes, thank you, Mr. Ash, and thank you for checking in to
Wait, was that the only question?
No, we had several. Response? We had several.
So, time for that.
No, we're going to come back. Oh, okay. This is going to be an episode on its own, our very first listener feedback. Thank you, Mr. Bertram Ash. Peace.
I know we know they know what I mean, 'cause you done already seen.